I don't know if you've ever felt like in the world right now, there are so many voices coming at you. If you get on the internet, Facebook, there's so many voices, so many opinions, so many ideas. Our problems in our world seem to be growing. The tragedies that happened when happened last week in Orlando, the families that were in pain right now. I did a funeral on Friday for a 16-year-old boy that committed suicide last Sunday, John Colom. And then we heard yesterday another Southridge student took his life, Ben Tucker. And I don't know about you, but I feel so often that the voices in this world of discouragement and despair and hopelessness and doubt are growing every day. And everybody has an idea, and everybody has an opinion of how to solve the problems. Everybody has an opinion of what's gone wrong and what people should have done and what we need to be doing and what the church needs to be doing. And I so often get overwhelmed with the voices. And so today, I want you to hear God's voice, not my voice. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 if you have a Bible with you. If not, you can follow along on the screen. And the Apostle Paul, a long time ago, said a prayer for the Christians then, but I believe it's a prayer that we desperately need today. So would you please stand with me? We're going to read Ephesians 1, 16 through 19. Ephesians 1, we give respect to the reading of God's word and stand together here. And Paul, in his word, the word of God, says this: I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Father in heaven, I thank you for the hope that we find in your word. I thank you for the love. I thank you for the wisdom. I thank you for the understanding we can receive when we listen to you. Lord God, I do pray for those families in Orlando that are in pain and heartache and sorrow and the lostness that they feel with the grieving they're going through. Lord God, I pray for the light of Jesus to shine in that place, the compassion of Jesus to reach out to hurting families. Lord God, I pray for the families that were here on Friday for the service for John, and I pray for them, and I pray for their friends. I pray for the kids at Southridge High School right now, many that are giving up, losing hope, losing their way. And Lord God, I pray that we would find ways to speak into their lives your truth. Lord God, today I pray for the voice of God to ring out. Lord, would you speak to us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So how do you know the voice of God? Interesting question we're going to try to deal with. And sometimes for men especially, we just have a hard time sorting out all those voices and doing the right thing. Somebody has come up with a new idea for a Bible. Maybe they had men in mind. Just bring it down to a simpler way of communicating. It's called the Emoji Bible. And maybe you can relate to this. I don't know. So dads, I'm not trying to put you down, but let's just kind of get it as simple as possible. Here's an example of the Emoji Bible. Okay, God... I'll speak slowly for you guys today. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Guys, are you following me here? Is this simple enough for you? Okay, now, sometimes maybe the problem is that this study of the Bible, and it just gets so complicated, and maybe because there's so many voices out there. So I'm just going to ask you a question today, dads. And I'll talk to all the Christ followers, but let's kind of focus on the dads a little bit today. Dads, are you ready to hear the voice of God? With all the voices that you could listen to and all the troubles in this world, are you ready to hear from God? Now, there's going to be three basic things that will be key for you to hear the voice of God. So we're going to make it really simple. I'm going to spell out, maybe some of you are going to follow me on this. We're going to spell out dad here today. Number one, dads, you need to figure out how to diligently seek his voice, okay? Matthew 6:33. Here's the words of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. And if you read through Matthew chapter 6, what you find is all the problems that are coming at us in this world and all the things you can worry about and all the stuff of the practical day-to-day stuff and what about this and what about that and how am I going to do this? And then finally Jesus says toward the end of the talk, he says, but if you could just seek first the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? Well, the word seek means to pursue or to run after or to desire, to put your hope in. And so, men, if you want to hear the voice of God, you're going to somehow have to prioritize your life and say, I'm going to go after the word of God. I'm going to go after hearing from God. And the word first there, seek first the kingdom of God, means above all. It means priority. It means my highest goal. And I'm going to go through life as a dad, and somewhere along the line, all the things I give myself to, I want to have a job to provide, I want to mow the lawn, I take care of the weeds and take the garbage out, and all these things I want to do as a dad. But then I've got to figure out, what is God wanting to do in my family? What is God wanting to do in my life? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Psalm 119:2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. And I want to tell you, man, there's a great blessing that comes when you decide, I'm going to seek the voice of God in my life. I'm going to do things his way. Matthew 11:15, we find the words that I shared with the kids. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And you go, what is Jesus trying to tell me? Well, what he's telling us is that hearing the voice of God is not automatic. It's not like a no-brainer, like you can just kind of float through and God will give it to you. And there is some kind of decision that I'm going to have to make. I'm going to have to focus in order to listen to the voice of God. It is so easy to tune out certain voices. Okay, man, you're watching the game and your wife wants to talk. Anybody understanding the struggle here? Okay, and your kids want some time from you. And somewhere along the line, you're going to have to tune out certain voices. You're going to have to mute the TV, put it on pause, and focus attention. If that's true in a horizontal way with relationships, it is also true with God. God is speaking right now to your life. The question is, are you really diligently listening to his voice? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So God is, it's the problem is not God speaking. God is speaking. The question is, are you listening? 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God which is at work in you. So God is speaking, and when we seek him and we seek his word, there's great power. If you're a dad here today and you are feeling powerless, you are feeling like, I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know what I should be doing. Let me just review with you right now the power of God's word. Okay, if you seek the word of God and the voice of God in your life, the Bible tells us that it will revive your soul, Psalms 19:7. Something inside of you, your soul, your spiritual part of you, will start to be born. There will be a birth that will happen. Where you are discouraged, where you are hopelessly ready to give up, the word of God can revive your soul. The word of God gives wisdom, Psalm 19:7. Don't know what to do. Don't know how to handle the situation. Psalms 19:8, it brings joy. The world sucks the joy out of your life. And you spend time with God and his voice brings you joy. It shines light on decision-making, Psalms 19:8. It keeps you from shame, Psalms 119:6. It helps you make pure choices, verse 9 is Psalms 119. How many of us need to make pure choices? It gives us strength. It gives answers to life's questions, Psalms 119, 42. It brings comfort, Psalms 119, verse 50. It produces hope, Psalms 119, 114. When I was preparing for the funeral for John on Friday, the suicide of the Southridge student, and I had to desperately go to God, and I had to admit, I have my own heart, I have nothing to say to these kids. And as they gathered on Friday, I was desperately praying, God, help me bring comfort to them. And as they shared, there was one athlete after the other. He was very active in baseball, very active in football. We had coaches, we had teachers here. This room was full of Southridge kids. And I said, God, I need your word. Your word's going to be the power here today. And God brought to my attention John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come to give life, and life more abundantly. And we talked about what the enemy wants to do in the situation in our lives, and he wants us to give up, and he wants us to be hopeless, and he wants us to do the wrong thing and the wrong response to situations. And all he does is compound the problems in our life when we listen to his voice. But Jesus has another plan for you. You see, the word of God is powerful. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. So here you are, men, as an employee, and you've been given a job to do, and your supervisor is going to come and inspect your work. And I want to tell you, God is asking you to be the dad that he wants you to be. And so how do you do it? And it says, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, it says. So, man, we can stand strong with God, and we can have a confidence. I can't do this alone. How can I do this? Rightly handling the word of truth. So the Bible can become my guide, like you're going to get a tape measure when you leave today. It can be that guide that will help you, and when you use the tape measure well, you're going to come out with a strong finishing product. So I need a board 6 feet long, man. So you pull the tape measure out to 60 inches. Your measurements not quite what I'm looking for. If you don't know, that's 5 feet, so we got a problem here. Well, you said six. I said 6 feet. I didn't say 60 inches. So now you got to figure this out. And so the Word of God is here, and when you rightly administer the Word of God or rightly apply the Word of God, it means to cut a straight line or a furrow for a harvest. It means to hold a straight path or course. It's having a right understanding of the voice of God in such a way that you can apply it to your life, and then you can see how God's word and God's truth can apply to your family. So, men, if you want this, it's going to start by you diligently seeking his voice. Now, number two, the letter A, is you're going to need to be alert. Remember that movie we saw of the dad at the dinner table? Clueless. Okay, he's not alert. He's not alert to what's going on with his daughter. He's not alert to what's going on with his wife. He's thinking of ice hockey, you know. He's probably from Canada. God bless the Canadians. I love them. Anyway, somewhere along the line, as dads, we have to be alert to what is God doing in the situation. So you have the word of God, that's what you diligently seek, but now you got to be alert. So John 10, verse 4 says, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, right? John 10, 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. John 18, 37, listen closely. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So a quality of a Christ follower would be not only somebody who knows the truth, but somebody who can listen to the voice of God, and they're alert to what God is doing in a situation. Now, make it clear real quick. God is not ever going to add to the Holy Scripture. He's not going to give you a revelation. All of a sudden, we're going to add a book to the Bible. Okay, God will never contradict the Holy Scripture. Okay, so you have a voice in the middle of the night. I think I'm going to steal my neighbor's new car because I really like it, and then I'm going to run him down and kill him because he's really kind of in the way, and I don't really like him, and thank you, God, for this revelation. I tell you what, that's not coming from God, okay? God will never contradict his scripture. Okay. God is not requiring, by the way, extra experiences to assist Holy Scripture. So if you want to hear the voice of God, he's never going to tell you, now you need to do this, this, and this, and this, and finally you're going to be qualified to hear from me. God's word is sufficient, right? And I want to tell you, if you've lost track of this, God is still speaking to his people. Okay, we're not talking about adding to Scripture. We're not talking about, you know, contradicting Scripture. But God is still speaking to his people. And I believe this is true, found in Romans 8:16, that there's a deep impression in my spirit. The Bible says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So what he's telling us is that when you're a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and he's going to work with your human spirit and give you impressions or direction from within. Now, not contradicting the word of God, but he's going to work. Sometimes as dads, he will give you a clear conviction of what is wrong or what is right. As a dad, because you've spent time in the word of God, and there's lying going on, there's deceiving going on, there's a wrong attitude going on, your antenna needs to go up and say, you know what, this isn't right. Also, you will have an obvious connection to a person or a situation. I believe that the voice of God has come into my life many times where I have sensed that what was happening and the person I was talking to, it was a divine appointment. Let me give you an example. A week and a half ago, my wife and I were walking at Howard Eamon Park, and I came across a man at the bench there. He looked sort of familiar. I didn't quite recognize him at first. And then he said, "Hi, Pastor Phil," and I know, oh my goodness, the pressure on. I got to remember who I'm talking to. Who are they? Haven't seen them in a while. And then the Lord brought the name right to my mind. This is Lauren Marino. Hi, Lauren, how you doing? Got a chance to visit with him a little bit. Got to reconnect with how he's doing. Got to spend some time with him. Thought, well, why did that happen? The suicide that happened on Friday was connected to the murder of Lauren Marino's wife and daughter some 10 years ago. Tragic thing that happened. And the family dynamic on Friday was connected to that. I'm not going to give you the details. But I'm going to tell you, when I was sitting with the family this week preparing for that service, that conversation with Lauren Marino the week before, you know, light bulb moment, God, you were speaking to me right then. And I believe that God is at work, and he wants to speak to us, and he wants to prepare us, and he wants to help us. And so sometimes there'll be an obvious connection to a person or a situation, and all of a sudden you go, wow, God was right there. This was not an accident. It was a divine appointment. Sometimes it could be audible. I'm gonna give this to you right now. I don't think it's the normal way that God will talk. And I have never heard the voice of God out loud. But I know there are some in this room that they believe that that has happened in their life. And I will not argue with you on that. I believe it's possible. It will never contradict Scripture. It will never add to Scripture. But what I think is more common is God speaking to us through his word or through someone else. Friday morning, I was in prayer trying to figure out what to say about that suicide of John, and trying to find the right words, and there was a friend of mine from our Wednesday Bible study, and I'd asked for prayer for Friday, and I'm preparing the message. I'm trying to think through what I'm going to say, and I get a text from that friend, and he said, "I'm praying for you, Pastor, and I want to give you a verse. Here's the verse. It's found in John, and it says that the world will give you tribulation. The world will give you all this stuff, but I have come to overcome the world, and I have come to give you peace." And when I read that from him, I thought, thank you, Jesus, for giving me a word that came from God through a brother. And you see, sometimes God's speaking to his people through people. And so, men, I want you to pray a prayer. When you get up in the morning, Jesus, I want to hear your voice today. That means you're going to take time in his word. You're going to what we call a quiet time, which means you let all the other distractions, you put your tablet, your phone aside, stop looking at it, and just spend time, unless your tablet is open to the Word of God, and let God speak to you. Take away the TV. Take away the distractions. Let God speak to you. Pray a prayer like this. Jesus, I want to minimize all the other voices in my life. I want to hear you today. And throughout the day, Lord, I want to hear you guide me and direct me. Speak to me. I want to obey you. Remember the story of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And then at that moment, when that moment happens, and you know God is guiding you, God is speaking to you, do something, say something, you'll be ready. You guys know about Dr. Heimlich. Did you see that in the news this last week? Dr. Heimlich is in a care facility. He is 96 years old, okay? He's having lunch, and the lady, older lady sitting at his table, starts to choke on a piece of hamburger. Dr. Heimlich knows what to do, okay? And he steps up, and he does the Heimlich maneuver and saves the lady's life. The food comes out, and he sits down and finishes his meal, okay? Then he admits later that was the first time he had ever done the Heimlich maneuver. First time he actually saved somebody's life. He knew about it. He knew it worked. He'd heard the stories, but he had never personally done it himself. Men, Christ followers, okay, we learn, we listen, we hear the voice of God, but somewhere along the line, it's time to be alert. Okay, when am I going to apply the Word of God into situations? Now, let me give you one last thought here on the letter D, and this is going to take a discernment. You're going to have to discern. After you're alert, you're going to have to discern. Now, how can I bring the Word of God into the situation? So 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you, and we have the ability in our human responsibility to quench the Spirit of God. By the way, it's a present tense command. So that means that it's an ongoing decision I can make. I can extinguish or stifle the Spirit of God, or I can receive what the Spirit of God is trying to say to me. Now let's get a quick review of what the Holy Spirit does. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He indwells every Christ follower. If you have a faith in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. What the Holy Spirit will do is He connects us with God the Father. Here on this Father's Day, I want to just tell you, if your human biological father has disappeared in your life, you have a heavenly Father that loves you very much. Okay, and the Spirit of God works in our hearts to tell us that we are children of God. We have a Father in heaven that loves us. The Spirit of God also glorifies Christ, John 15:26. So the Spirit of Christ will be pointing us to Jesus. It'll bring the love of God into our hearts. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, the love of God will fill your heart. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, the love of God will flow through your life to other people. So when you see a tragedy, when you see a heartache, when you see something terrible happen like down in Orlando, when you're listening to the Spirit of God will be welling up a love for people, a love for hurting people. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit equips us for ministry, gives us the tools that we need, teaches and guides us, John 14:26. One of my favorite verses, Psalms 143, verse 10. Listen to these words. It's a prayer. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. So here we are in a world that's got all kind of uneven terrain and all kinds of weird things happening, all kinds of hurtful things happening. And so we say, Lord God, I need to discern your voice, and I need to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying in the situation. So it says in verse 20 of 1 Thessalonians 5, do not despise prophecies. So when God is speaking, don't disdain, don't set it aside. God's written word is powerful. God's spoken word through His Spirit into your heart is powerful. We get confused with the word prophecies. The word prophecy in the Bible is used two different ways. One, to foretell future, and so that's about some special things. But mainly the word is used to foretell the Word of God. So God's Word is going to your heart and to your mind, maybe through people, maybe just through time in the Word of God. And you've sought the Word of God. You want the voice of God. You're alert to the situation. But now you're going to need to discern, and you got to be careful. Do not highly value the voices of the world and then despise the voice of God, but highly value the voice of God. Okay. Now, here's the challenge, verse 21 of 1 Thessalonians. Test everything, okay? Hold fast to what is good. Okay, so you build a fort in this tall tree for your kids, dads, and man, you're pretty proud of it. You got it up in about 15 minutes. You know, you did it. You did it, you know. And so now, would you send your 5-year-old kid up there to test whether it's strong enough to hold some weight? And, you know, if it's not strong enough, you'll find out. They'll fall to the ground. Most likely, as a dad, if you're a good dad, you will build the fort, and then you personally will go up there to make sure that it's strong enough for your kids. You see, the Bible here is an opportunity for us to test everything and to hold fast to what is good. Now, my wife's brother, he's with Jesus now, but his job in Spokane was to be a hydrologist, which was really a cool job. He got trained for it. He would go through all the water sources of Spokane and determine to discern good water or bad water in the wells and in other water sources. And he had the ability to test, now Flint, Michigan needs this lesson maybe, to test the purity of the water. Dads, can I just remind you this morning, your job is to test the purity of what is going into the hearts and minds of your kids. Movies they're watching, video games they're playing, the activities they're a part of. If you are a dad that wants to be a spiritual leader, somewhere along the line, you got to discern the voice of God for the benefit of those around you. Hebrews 5:14 says, "The solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." So my brother-in-law, Carl, when he first got this idea of being a hydrologist, he had no clue how to test the water. He didn't know what a good, you know, you take that water out of the tap and you go, wow, I'm really thirsty. And if you were in Flint, Michigan, you go, maybe I should test this water before I drink it. And so when you have spiritual maturity, you have the ability to test the waters of what's good or what's evil. Now, some of you have toddlers, Pastor Michael understands this, got a couple toddlers, kind of little guys crawling around. When kids are little, they put everything and anything into their mouth, okay? What's some of the weirdest things your kids have put in their mouth, okay? Let's just talk for a moment. I'm talking about dirt, mud, garbage, somebody's gum on the sidewalk. They found it, a treasure. Man, I got this. What's in your mouth? It's gum. Where'd you get it? Sidewalk. Not good idea, okay? So, I mean, isn't that interesting? When they're immature, they don't have discernment. But a Christ follower that's mature has discernment in what's right and what's wrong. So now let's just kind of think about that. Are you very discerning to the voice of God? So let's review. God is a God who communicates. How does he communicate? He speaks to us through, number one, his words. Let's get this really clear. Proverbs 22:17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. Okay? So, prayed for a family this morning. The wife has left the husband and the wife is living with a boyfriend. Okay? And the dad was here grieving. So I'm going to start with the word of God, and I'm going to say, and I prayed over that dad. What was happening in his family is not coming from God. This is destructive. This is painful. And I know that without any hesitation because the word of God is clear. Okay. So when 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Now watch this, verse 17, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. You can go to God's word every time and life throws you a curveball and you are a mess because of the situation. Every single time you can go to the word of God and you will find what you need, the tools you need to be competent, equipped for the good work that God has for you. So we prayed We're going to get back to God's word to be the man that he needs to be equipped to handle this tragic situation. And there's confidence in going to God's word. So this morning, men, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel inadequate, if you feel ignorant, if you feel unsure of what to say or what to do as a dad or as a husband or as a grandpa, I want to tell you, get into God's word. God will speak to you through his word. Number two, God speaks to us through his people. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. I want to tell you, there were different men in my life that have spoken into my life that made a huge difference in my life. In high school, I had a teacher named James Rose, and he spoke into my life, and he said, Phil, God has something for your life. And then I went to a church in Southern California as a college student. I didn't want to be a pastor, and I went to a church, and the pastor was ready to retire. His name was Dr. Dennis, and he was very old, and he was ready to retire. And he wanted to talk to me in his office. And I go, what's this all about? And he goes, Phil, I've noticed something about your life, and I believe that God has a plan for your life in ministry. And I said, well, I don't want to be a pastor. And he says, I understand that, but God has a plan for you. Could you just help us with the youth for a while you're figuring out what you want to do with your life? And I said, okay, I'll do that. And then God continued to unfold what he wanted. And when we were in Whittier, and I was a pastor down in Whittier, I had an older man. I didn't really know him very well. I'd just done his wedding. Actually, he got remarried to his bride. And so there's two 80-year-old people that were newlyweds. And I didn't know him very well. And he had come to our church for a couple weeks, and he pulled me aside. And he was in his 80s, and he didn't know me very well. And he says, Phil, I want to tell you something right now. And our church was fairly small there in Whittier, less than 200 people. And he said, Phil, God has given me a word for you. I go, what is that? Well, God has bigger plans for you than what we're doing here in Whittier. And I kept that in my mind. What does that mean? And I want to tell you the greatest word that's ever been spoken to me, and it's a great word you can say to somebody else. When somebody came up to me one day and said, today I saw Jesus in you. And when you hear those words, that's the word of God coming through your voice to someone else, and it's powerful, okay? And if you're listening to the voice of God, you're looking for those ways to speak into people's lives, but you're also going to be listening for ways that people are trying to speak into your life. God speaks to us not just through his word and not just through people, but also through his Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. Listen. Revelation 2:7, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listening to the Holy Spirit is more powerful than the latest book that's been published in the New York Selling Times. It's more powerful than a public opinion poll for church growth. It's more powerful than the latest church growth strategy. It's more powerful than what other churches are doing that's popular or what other families are doing. And you compare yourself with other families. And I tell you, dads, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to his word, and you will find clarity to be the dad that God wants you to be. Now, most of what I've talked about today is ready to listen to the voice of God. But as I finish this morning, I want to give you one more question for both men and women in this room, but I'll speak to the dads a moment. Dads, are you ready to not just listen to the voice of God? Are you ready to be the voice of God to your family? Are you ready to give a word to your kids or to your grandkids or to your wife? What it would look like, five quick words. It might be a word of conviction where you sense that something is going sideways, attitude or actions, and you need to speak into that. Don't be quiet. Speak into it. Number two, the word courage. Your kids are going to get discouraged. They're going to want to give up. Our generation coming up is overwhelmed with what they hear in the news. They're overwhelmed with what they see. And they need adults speaking words of courage into their life. Number three, words of compassion. They need to hear that the love of Jesus is real and that they care. They are cared for deeply no matter what they have done. That God's grace is powerful. Number four, words of counsel. Come alongside of the younger generation. Come alongside of them and guide them and give them light when they cannot see their way. And number five, words of confirmation. Be a cheerleader of encouragement. When they do the right thing, say, that was awesome. I saw Jesus in you. When you speak into their words, into their life, it can make a difference. And I wonder how many times these kids around us are giving up, and what they were looking for is an adult that would come alongside of them and say, do not give up. There is hope in Jesus. So please pray with me. Father in heaven, I pray for any dads in this room, any moms, anyone in this room that has felt discouraged with things going on in their life or in this world. And Lord God, the voice of this world is full of despair. And I thank you that we have the voice of God to go to. And Lord God, I thank you for the voice of God that is powerful and help us. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so, Lord God, in this room, I pray that the dads would have a renewed commitment to seek your word, to seek your voice. They'd be alert to the moments where they could share the truth to people around them. Lord God, show us with discernment. Lord God, I thank you for your help right now. I thank you for the hope we have in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.